This is Preview on the Classical Station. I'm Rob Kennedy. Our guest this week is violist Peter Solsky. Peter talked about the unusual viola he plays, and more. Peter, tell our listeners what attracted you to the viola and your inspiration for becoming one of the top players of that instrument.
When you're really inside trying to play an instrument and trying to bring music to an audience, you know, ideally what you're trying to do is serve the music. And of course, I say that now as an elder gentleman, so to speak, as opposed to when I was a young man who played basketball and liked playing the violin, of course, like many violists do first, not all, of course, and then eventually switch to the viola. We eventually find deeper meanings which allow us to continue to try and be excellent. I know I've been very blessed with so much support around me and having so many great colleagues and having had so many great experiences that lend then to that moment where, say, on this recording, ideally I'm trying to create some beauty, and it's, of course, it's about the music and the beauty of the music. I was attracted to the viola originally because of the deeper sound. I'm sort of also a big guy too, but that, in some ways, that has very little to do with it. Some of my most amazing colleagues that I know that play the viola have nothing to do with height and size, but often people say that, oh, that you play the viola because you're a big guy or a big person. It's not true, really. It's the deeper sound. It's the deeper voice that it lends, perhaps also slightly less virtuosic than the violin, but still plenty of that, as you can probably hear in some of the recording. So for me, it's that inspiration has come from just being around musics of the world with all my worldly travels and also all the types of different organizations I've been able to play with, whether it was, you know, with the London Symphony Orchestra or whether it was starting my own little chamber music series in south of England 35 years ago. I mean, all these things lend to those experiences.
Peter, your viola has such a warm singing tone. Tell us about its provenance.
I'm very fortunate. Martin Cornelissen was a Dutch-American, and during his heyday, he and I think another maker by the last name of Keller, who I think was based in Philadelphia, were the makers of the day. We're talking about the 70s, 80s for viola. Martin Cornelissen also built lots of beautiful cellos as well and some violins. He built, I think, well over 500 instruments. It's a very personal story, and so you can tell as much of it as you like, of course. The original Gus instrument that I was able to play and my father purchased for me in 1985 when I was still a young man was a very large instrument, a 17.5-inch back, which just means it's quite a bit larger than what most people play. Had a very deep sound. Mr. Cornelissen had made it as a copy, a commissioned copy of an incredible Gaspar de Salo viola, which was built in 1590, which the original prints are still available in London. It was commissioned by the director, my old teacher of the Performing Arts School of Worcester in 1980. They had been given this Gaspar de Salo viola, which he was terrified to play because it was worth tremendous amounts of money and which they intended to sell, of course, for their endowment. He was terrified to play it. So what he did is he commissioned a copy by Martin Cornelissen to the exact specifications. So it was this big, rough diamond of an instrument. It's ended up being the only viola I've ever played in my life 40 years later. So it's really developed. Obviously, I live with it, and it's what I get to play, and I've been able to upgrade bows over the years so that that side of it as well works. And it's been just an incredible ride. I mean, the joy I get every day and have had every day playing it is incredible. So I'm very, very blessed to have been able to use that instrument.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we don't have that many solo viola recordings in the library, probably less than a dozen or so. But this instrument just stood out, just sounded larger than life, I guess is the way I would describe it. I was being very euphemistic by calling it warm singing tone.
That's all fine, Rob. And you know, the addendum to the story is, which again, you can feel free to include or not, I had a terrible fall 5 months ago off a stage and destroyed the instrument. That is the final recording on that instrument as it was. At the same time, the beauty of it is I have an incredible modern maker. I'm also a violinist, though, you know, my primary activity is on viola. A modern Cuban maker called Angel Hernandez. I was able to commission him to build a viola in the same likeness, which I've been playing for the last month. And I've actually done a couple more recordings for Parma on, which is incredible. And it's been quite a journey to turn over a new leaf, especially at my age, which I was not expecting to have to do, to play yet another instrument. But at the same time, it's been incredible to be able to commission a living maker, of course, to build me a beautiful instrument, which I totally believe in, which will still take time to develop, but will not take as long to play in. And then to finish just that side of the story, the Cornelissen, of course, is in pieces, but it is rebuildable, regardless of the value. that means nothing. What matters is, can it sound like it sounded? The experts I've spoken to are convinced it can be put back together, so I'm able to, I will do so. But obviously that would take years. It's bittersweet, but at the same time, as we all know, the music is about what these composers have created, what these composers have worked so hard to create these sounds and colors. The musician himself, of course, or herself, working to interpret this music. And yes, the instrument does matter, but all of these things are renewable. All of these things are possible to move forward with.
Peter, it reminds me of the story of the Canadian pianist Angela Hewitt. She plays a Fasioli piano, which is, you know, the last time I looked, they started about a quarter of a million. They were lifting that out of a fourth, fifth story window down to the truck to take it to the next concert date, and they dropped it. I don't think people realize how precious these instruments are and how vulnerable they are. Peter, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Oh, it's my great pleasure.
Our guest on Preview has been violist Peter Solsky. For more information about our programming, please visit our website, theclassicalstation.org. Thank you for your support.